Hi, I'm smuggling you booze across the Canadian border, but I always take different routes, and I'm Allison.
And I heard reports of bears on the trails. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's Bitches. You already know what episode this is, okay? Can I just say, watching this episode, there's a lot of different storylines going on. My notes are so short though, because it's like just beat by beat kind of like plot points. But I'm like, they knew that only people would be talking about Archie getting attacked by a bear. So the rest of this episode feels a little phoned in.
Yeah, it does. But it's still
But
a great episode. Like, honestly, I thoroughly enjoyed every moment.
it's so good. This is chapter 44, No Exit. I really liked how this episode started of
Yeah.
Jughead voiceover. Hero's journey would be complete without his self-imposed exile. Okay.
So true.
I did
So
write that
true.
down. Which is true, and that's what Archie is doing, and it's like Archie felt like he had to conquer something before he would be ready to go home to Riverdale. And I was like, as soon as that was said, I was like, oh, you already know.
Yeah, exactly. So then Jughead also lets us know that since the quarantine, which was 5 weeks ago, so we're 5 weeks in, but or actually it's over. It was 5 weeks ago. The crime rate has actually risen, not fallen. Which I don't I was like, okay. And it's exclusively due to the fact that Tony and Cheryl have decided to become cat burglars for no reason other than that, like, they're bored. And so.
They're bored and they think it's sexy.
They do. So they finish one during this voiceover, and Tony says, "I love you," and Cheryl says, "I love you too," which I think might be the first time they've said that. And it felt like a moment. And then they fuck on a pile of money.
Like you do. This plot point was, I know why. Now I actually remembered why they have to have this storyline. But the whole setup was still just like they have no reasons. They have no motives. They were literally just like stealing. They're like dressing up cute to go steal from people. Meanwhile, Cheryl is literally rich. Like, this is so
Yes.
unethical.
No, she's literally like making a Robin Hood comment at one point, but then is like, wait, I can't do that because I'm also rich. So instead of being
She
like
says,
stealing from the rich to give to the poor, oh, what does she say?
Stealing from the rich to give to, well, us. And it's like, you are the rich, Cheryl. So
Self-aware queen.
then, the next day at school, Cheryl and Tony are holding hands in the hallway, and then Moose yells at them because there's no physical contact allowed. I guess that was the solution to like the seizures, that they think it could
Yeah.
be like a disease or something. And so it's like all the ROTC boys are the ones enforcing Weatherby's new rules. I'm like, what disease in all of human history cannot be contracted by being in the same room together? It has to be like physical touch.
I mean, there are like a few, but
I guess seizures, apparently.
that's not how that works. And they're Kevin or Cheryl and Tony are like, this is stupid. There's no reason for this. Everything's coming back normal, like it's over. And they protest that they don't make the rules. The ROTC boys just enforce them. To which Cheryl says, no. Or they're just like, we don't make the rules. And then Cheryl says, no, you just enforce them like the crypto fascists you are.
Oh, Cheryl. True. Making
Anyways,
statements. Military industrial
points,
complex.
making points. The speakeasy though, post quarantine is thriving, like thriving. And this episode had a weird cabaret theme, like as like the musical cabaret. And so Josie is singing Cabaret from Cabaret, in a flapper costume that like kind of slays. And the place is just like packed. And Reggie informs Veronica that they're almost sold out of alcohol and the mocktails are selling really well too. So we found out Veronica has officially broken her no underage drinking rules, it seems.
Which, okay, when they were showing like the speakeasy popping, when their last plot was like, no, hey, nobody's at the speakeasy, so we're broke. I
Yeah.
was like, what? But then they did explain, well, they serve alcohol now. So, I guess that would help. Cheryl is also in attendance this tonight with Tony, and she's wearing like this two-piece set that's like a crop top with long sleeves. And it's black and sequenced, and it was a sleigh. And I will say, other thing I noted in the scene, Reggie is making some eyes at Veronica, so.
Anyways, Josie's singing Cabaret and is getting to like the final note where she screams life is a cabaret, which this like Cabaret is not a happy song. It's actually quite depressing, but whatever. Anyways, then the final note that they play is triumphant, which is supposed to be really upsetting in the musical, is then interrupted by a scream, which is waking Betty up at her house. And she goes downstairs, and it's because one of the kids she rescued is having a nightmare about the Gargoyle King.
Of course. At first I thought definitely thought it was Alice's scream. I was like, what the fuck? But
Yeah.
no, it's one of the kids. All of the girls that they saved from the sisters are just like, or I guess there's boys too, are sleeping
Which, where did the
on
boys
the
come from? They're just like a the gay
true.
conversion wing. They came
The
from the
gay
gay
conversion
conversion
thing.
wing.
Yeah, true. They're all sleeping on the floor of the Cooper's living room. And Betty is like goes down to try to comfort the girl that was screaming, and she finds some fizzle rocks. So, these actual children are doing fizzle rocks, which, like, it's never explained to the extent what this type of drug is, but no matter what it is, like, these kids are like 12 max. So, I am concerned about them doing fizzle rocks. I'm not gonna lie. And, Betty's trying to figure out who they got the fizzle rocks from, like who the dealer is, and she does learn that it is a serpent.
Yeah. Jughead upstairs is being informed of all this and is like, I left for too long and now things are crazy and the serpents are like working for Hiram again or something. I don't. He's just like essentially having a pity party for himself. And but then he's like, but also, why did Hiram want to have the quarantine? Like, what was the point of that? I don't understand. And Betty's like, IDK, I don't know. But also, I'm working with Attorney McCoy to get the sisters to rat on Hiram for us. The scene served no purpose other than just to have Jughead be updated on the goings on of Riverdale.
Yeah, because he was gone. Yeah, that's basically it. Jughead wants to figure out what serpent it is. Then we go back to Archie, who is like talking to someone else on like a radio system, and she warns that there has been some bear sightings in his area. And we cut that's kind of how we figure out that he's like working for like some sort of like state park. I don't know what it is in
Like,
Canada,
I
but like
don't
some sort of national park type thing
understand
where
what
he's a
this is.
ranger.
I just don't understand what's going on here. If we're being honest, he's just.
I think, well, he's just like working. I think they do have some people that like live out there in case like hikers go missing or stuff like that. That's kind of just supposed to like be around.
Yeah, but generally, I think those are not illegal immigrants.
Yeah, but also like, I mean, one, I don't know. I don't remember the illegal, how Fred was using illegal
Oh,
Canadian.
Canadian immigrants.
Sorry, you said that. I was like, he's an illegal immigrant, but to Canada, which
Canada.
one is it illegal? I mean, I guess he's working there, which probably isn't legal, but I don't know how like picky they are about stuff. And also, like, I think it's one of those like jobs that no one wants, so they might just kind of let anyone do it. Let us know if you know anything about Canadian national parks. I don't. There's bear sightings, though. That's what I learned from Riverdale, is you gotta be careful of the bears.
Anyways, so yeah, he hears this and is just like, okay. And then goes out and goes walking with Vegas in the woods. Then Reggie is driving an old-timey truck down a dirt road. And he blows a tire and is like goes out to check on it and then is attacked by a gargoyle, the gargoyle gang, who says Veronica Lodge has not paid what she owes.
Tea. The truck is very, very old timey, and I'm like, this is so ridiculous. It literally looks like a smuggler's truck, and that's what he's doing. He's smuggling beer across the
It's
Canadian
like,
border. Which question? What? How? Why do you need to go to Canada to get beer? Like, beer isn't illegal, and like, I know you're a minor, but you're also a minor in Canada. It's 19 instead of 21, but Reggie's not 19, so if he's already using a fake ID, why
I
can't you
don't.
just buy it in America? Anyway,
They're getting it from Papa Poutine. Who knows?
I guess so. So yeah, gargoyles have him, and they like beat him up, and then he's going and talking to Veronica. I see my nose just Reggie is so handsome. Because he's all beaten up and she's like putting an ice pack on him. Wow. Romance is not dead.
It is
So
not.
basically, Veronica reveals that Hiram wants a cut of their earnings to like be protection. But she's like, don't worry, I have a plan. He wants to eat 10%, but this is what I'm going to do. That she's just going to cook the books to make it look like they're taking less money. So the 10% is less money. We get it. To which Reggie says, has anyone ever told you you're a badass? Which you know he wants to fuck Veronica because no one thinks she's a badass.
Yeah.
But honestly, Reggie might think that obvious plan is genius because I don't
That's
think he's
true.
that smart. So maybe he is actually like, wait, is
She's
she a mastermind?
a criminal mastermind. She's just gonna lie, cooking books. Which as a non-business person, I don't entirely understand what that means, but I think it means you're just lying about how much money you've made.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like in most
Then
cases, you should be doing that to pay less taxes.
yeah. Anyways, then Archie's walking through the woods and he hears some noises and Vegas starts barking. So he's like, oh, maybe let's go in this direction instead. And he does, but then he notices bear prints on the ground. And he starts hearing things. He looks around, and then it like the most dramatic. We didn't know how to film this in a realistic way, but like need to show that something like crazy happened way. They just have like something in like the camera like jumps towards Archie as if something's like attacking him, and then it cuts to black.
Okay. So, other notes on this scene. Vegas is so scared, but Archie is just like, what, Vegas? Like, he's like not nervous at all, which, like, I get he's like patrolling the woods, but one, literally was warned about bear attacks. Two, sees the bear paw and doesn't immediately, like, I forget which it is, so hopefully no bear attacks me. But it's like a grizzly, you're supposed to like make noise or and not run, I think. Either way, he doesn't do anything. So he's just literally just standing there, and then the bear attacks him, and then yeah. They really were like, we cannot possibly film anything that won't look ridiculous, so they just cut to black.
Yeah. I said, why would we do that?
So then we see the Riverdale logo because I guess it's commercial break. And then we're back, and it's like Archie getting back to his cabin, which I don't know how far he was, but like, okay, he made it back to
Sure.
his cabin. He's like on the radio trying to ask for help. And what else you would say, but it cracked me up when he said, "I've been attacked." Wesley, such a long pause. He's been attacked and grizzly, and I'm like, why pause?
I have questions. I have many questions. So, yeah, first, why pause? Second, so grizzly bears like are the most aggressive bear in North America, as far as I'm aware. I'm not a bear scientist though, so don't at me. But like they are like the aggressive ones who like will attack you. But they're also like exclusively a Western US thing or like Western North American thing. Like they're not really in the Eastern US or Eastern Canada. So like I have questions about where Archie is in Canada. It's like implied that he's close enough to like upstate New York that he could just casually pop over if he needed. Like it's not like a big deal for him to come back, it seems. And like he mostly walked there.
Yeah, so you're right. I had no idea. I'm gonna give you the answer. I had no idea that grizzly bears were only in the West, and neither did the Riverdale writers.
That's
I
so
think
true.
he is supposed to be, well, he's supposed to be like above like where Ohio is, because he's coming
Yeah.
from Toledo. So not necessary, but still not far west enough that I just looked at a map of where grizzly bears live. Fiction. This is not,
Fiction.
guys, this is not true. Archie Andrews did not actually get attacked by a grizzly bear, believe it or not.
Shocking. Anyways, so he's calling the woman on the radio, which. Do we ever get explained who this is? I don't remember.
It's supposed to just be someone else who's like working at one of the other cabins, I'm guessing, somewhere in the woods.
Okay. Anyway, so he's calling her on the radio, and she's like, oh my gosh. And then he's trying to explain what happens, but then she's like giving him advice, but the radio signal is going out. So he just starts to, he's like, I need help. And then she's like, okay, I'll apply pressure to the wound. But then the radio goes away. And so he just starts like dressing his own wounds. And he like pours a bottle of what I'm assuming is like hydrogen peroxide or something on his wounds. And then takes a bandage and just kind of like puts it there. Which.
Look, there was an attempt.
We get a very clear shot of the fact that he just has two very deep claw marks, one on his like bicep and one on his pec, and that is it. Those are his only wounds.
Okay. I hit that guy, but when I saw the wounds, I'm like, not that bad. Like, overblow it for, they didn't give him, like, his wound when he was rotting away from his stab, his infected stab wound was 20 times more disgusting and deadly looking than the actual bear attack wounds. He kind of looked like a deep cut, but it looked like, I mean, he might lose muscle there. It didn't look like he was gonna die, so I was kind of like, okay. And also, I love how they had the radio cut out just to be like another problem when he was gonna pass out in 2 seconds
Anyways,
anyway.
yeah.
Like, why'd you have to have the radio cut off?
Like, I don't understand the point of the radio cutting off. Because it's not like, and it's not like it cut off before he could be like, I was attacked by a bear. Like, she understood because she was giving him medical advice.
Yeah, like if he didn't get to like ask for help, then yeah, he might die, but like, I don't know how far away she is. I don't know. I just wrote Vegas does not give a fuck.
No.
Because Vegas is kind of just like watching him, but like she doesn't realize that anything is wrong.
Yeah, anyway, so then Archie just like stumbles to the bed and passes out, and Vegas just like lays down. It's like, cool.
So then back in Riverdale, Alice is tired of dealing with all these goddamn kids and wants to send them to the farm.
She's so real.
This is another tough episode for the Alice heads, I'm gonna be
It
honest.
really is. It's hard out here for us.
Betty doesn't want to send them away because, one, she doesn't trust the farm, and
Yeah.
two, I'm their Griffin Queen. They've imprinted, she says imprinted, which I thought was so funny. They imprinted on her, so they trust her. And Alice is like, okay, well, then they're your responsibility, Betty, and I'm not helping. Which,
She says, and I quote, "Fine, but as their queen, they're your responsibility, not mine."
fucking fuck.
Which she kind of slayed there, established those boundaries, Alice.
Yeah, fuck your kid. Let these
Your
other
child.
kids, fuck your kid who's trying to help other children.
Fuck the gay conversion therapy survivors.
Okay. Honestly, she's like, the farm. Okay, we just opened up gay conversion at the farm. Okay. That's not true. The farm is actually not
The
homophobic.
farm is pro-gay rights. Then Betty meets with Mayor Attorney McCoy,
Attorney.
who has some bad news, which is that the sisters have taken a vow of silence. So they can no longer be like interviewed in court or something. And then Betty's like, "Well, then I can just testify." And she's like, "Betty, you were high on Fizzle Rocks," which I've just decided that means bath salts. So she was high on this universe's equivalent of bath salts. So like her testimony is not exactly credible.
Okay, honestly, fair point, but I know they just like had to have a plot point get in the way
Yeah.
of this, but I'm like, but they have all these goddamn kids. Like, Betty's not lying because there are a dozen kids at her house right now. Like, at least part of the story has to be true, right? Because all these kids are delusional about a gargoyle king, but okay. They gotta find a solution. So then Hiram is at Le Bon Nuit, and Veronica admits that she does need protection, and Hiram has new capos, and they're twins, which is a choice. And then they kind of negotiate for like what cut they'll take to get the protection. She gets it down to 10%, and Hiram is like, Josie C is really turning out good, which is just such a weird comment because Josie's singing in the background of the scene. And he's like, Josie's pretty talented, huh? And then the scene ends. Like, okay.
Yeah, she's singing Maybe This Time in the background. I noted that while they're negotiating, Veronica or Hiram's like 15% and Veronica's like no, 5%. And then business is slow. But Hiram's like, "No, the new twins have noticed that your like parking lot is always full. Business is booming, isn't it?" So then Veronica responds, "Well, well, new coat, new capos, you're walking tall these days. Hope the nuns in jail don't crack under pressure and start talking about how you were their candy man."
Loki ate him up
She.
to Hiram's new coat is so he's
I
wearing like
wrote
a
it.
bird.
It is like, so he's in his like signature man in black suit, but and so he has a black coat, but the new coat has like the thickest and largest fur collar. That is just like screaming mob.
I have two notes. First was, wow, mob wife aesthetic.
Yes.
He was giving. And two, I think the man in black thing has really freed him to like dress gay because before he could like wear colors, so he kept it pretty safe, like texture wise. But since he's become the man in black and is only allowed to wear black, we've had the black sequins fit, we've had the big fur coat, like he's living.
He's been able to experiment with textures, which is such a gay thing to do. Then Jughead calls a meeting of the serpents where he informs them that slinging dope is not what serpents do.
Anti-weed enforcer.
I just so he's creating a new rule for the gang, which is no more that, no more selling or doing drugs, and no crime of any kind, and anyone who does any crime will be permanently exiled from the serpents, which their existence is a crime.
They're gang members And like, they're not just criminals. It's a community, yes. But like, do we want to talk about your dad cleaning up for a murder? All of these serpents being hired by Hiram Lodge to illegally trash the drive-in. You're all drug dealers. You all are living illegally on this like plot of land that you don't own. Like, I'm just saying, you are all you're doing crimes right now, Duckhead. So like, what? Hello, you went on the run with a guy that you broke out of
Prison,
juvie.
the conv or I guess, yeah, technically convicted murderer who you broke out of
Yeah.
prison.
But then
Anyways,
FP does the serpent salute, and then they don't even agree. They're just like, okay, Jughead, we won't do crime.
yeah, Cheryl calls him out for being like kind of a annoying and being disappearing to go run away with Archie for a while and then coming back and lecturing them on responsibility. And then Fangs is like, okay, that's great, but like, I'm broke. I don't have enough money to buy food. But then FP shuts everyone up. And this was a moment where I was like, you know, the serpents are low-key a dictatorship.
Yeah, I mean, that's how gangs work. I don't think it's really
I
usually a
mean, like, it is,
democracy.
but they like position themselves as like a community organization. But then it's like, no, it's just not. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. So they gotta figure out a way to get money. Then Josie is like going home because she lives at the Four Seasons now. Five Seasons, excuse me. And so she's walking into like the hotel room, and these gargoyles attack her, which is very scary. And then Veronica's over, and Josie says that she's gonna quit working for Veronica if it's like a threat to her or her mom because of her beef with her dad. So Veronica's gotta fix that.
Which, fair enough. Then Betty gets home, and Polly and Evelyn are talking to all the kids from the sisters about the farm, and Betty is pissed. And she's like, Polly and Evelyn are like handing out t-shirts, and Betty's like, don't take those. The farm is dangerous, and I promise to protect you from danger. Which Polly and Evelyn, not a fan of that comment. So they kind of start calling her out on her bullshit.
They really go for it.
They really do. Polly took such a turn as a character.
Polly. They're like, well, these kids, you're protecting these kids. Why do they have fizzle rocks, Betty? They won't even tell you that the drug dealer is a serpent because you're a serpent, so they're scared of you too. The drug dealer's fangs.
Yeah. That's the end all
That's
be
what
all
we
of that
learn.
situation. Then Jughead and FP confront Fangs about the drug dealing, and he's just like, listen, my mom's sick, I need money. And they're like, well, why didn't you just come to us? Which, like, do you have money? Like, I'm confused.
You all live, I'm sorry, like in this like encampment. I don't think you're like loaded, Jughead.
The entire gang is living in a one-bedroom trailer. I just need
I don't
everyone to know that.
understand. Yeah. But Fang's mom is sick, so he's been getting the drugs from the Gargoyle gang and then selling them. And Jughead is like, I'll let it slide just this once, but you have to stop. Sure won't that backfire?
Could never backfire. It would never backfire. I would note that one condition is that Fangs doesn't tell anyone about the situation that he found himself in.
That's true. At least I had tried that.
Yeah.
Then we see Choni at the Pembroke. What kind of fucking security does the Pembroke have? Because it doesn't seem hard
None.
for them to get in at all.
They have
They
no security.
see
We can tell.
the Glamourche egg. And they're like, oh, a Glamourche egg. So they go ahead and pocket that, and I said, cat masks are hot.
Yes,
So
true.
there you go. But then Cheryl sees Hiram's portrait, and she's like, I might do one more thing before we leave.
Yeah. Then in the cabin, Archie is struggling, which I wrote in all caps. So he starts having visions of the Shadow Lake boys, and they want to play G&G with him. And he's like, you guys are all dead. I must be dreaming. And they're like, okay. if you want to go back to Riverdale, though, you have to play Gryffindor and
Yeah.
Gargoyles with us. And it's like, okay.
Sure. So then Betty is talking to the social worker about what to do with the kids, and she's like, "Well, I was trying to like just keep them there until the nuns testified against Hyrum, but now they've taken a vow of silence because of their religion. So now I don't know what to do." And the social worker is like, "Their religion? Dot dot dot."
Then Veronica yells at Hiram about the gargoyle attacking Josie, and Hiram's like, girly, do you think you're talking to? Like, who do you think you just tried to deceive with cooking the books? I am the criminal mastermind, is essentially what's going on. And so he's like, I want my money. Also, I know Cheryl stole the Glamourge egg and I want it back.
Veronica's like, "How do you even know it was them?" And then he like pans to Hiram's great portrait, which does have a red lipstick mark on his cheek,
It
which
is
was such a slay.
such a wonderful dramatic reveal. Like, it was so well done, in my opinion, because it's just so stupid.
It's so funny to think about, like, now Cheryl does have beef with Hiram because they all do, but it's also
Yeah.
like, what specifically is her beef with Hiram? Just he has made the town not fun, and she's not allowed to hold Tony's hand at school because of his quarantine.
That feels like it. That feels like it. Oh, and he's helping her mom become a prostitute.
Oh, okay. See, that's true. Well, she's already a prostitute. Okay, she doesn't need a man for that. She wants to own a whole brothel. She needs Hiram to help with that.
It's actually Cheryl's internalized misogyny that's preventing her from seeing the work of her own mother.
Actually, canceled.
The canceling
Canceled.
Cheryl.
She hates to see a girl boss winning.
She can't stand a girl boss who slays.
SMH. So then we get a weird conversation just because it's Veronica and Jughead, which like them
Ew.
one-on-one should never happen. It's kind of
Ew. It's
disgusting.
just uncomfortable to witness.
Veronica is at his trailer and is like, "You need to get the egg from Cheryl so I can give it to Hiram for blah 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 because Hiram's threatening me and she's going through this whole problem." And then Jughead's like, "Oh, like you need to pay your dad for protection? What if you just paid less for all the serpents to give you protection, and then you don't have to be working for your dad, and then all the serpents get jobs?" So honestly, I'll give it to Jughead. That's a solid plan.
It's a solid plan if it works. It's very contingent on the serpents actually being able to protect her, though. So yeah. Then Archie is playing G&G with the Shadow Lake boys, and he pulls his quest card, which says defeat the hooded specter of death. So he begins the quest by like walking out the front door of the cabin and into Pops, where the Black Hood is aiming his gun at Fred. Archie tackles him, takes him down, and then like returns with the Black Hood's hood. And back in the cabin, all of the boys are gone, but now the warden is there. And Archie's like, I'm not playing with you.
I took so many notes on that scene, and then I decided that I wasn't going to take detail beat by beat notes on all of these weird visions and just said, "This is incoherent."
It is incoherent, and I took detailed notes on it. It was very hard for me.
But
But yeah.
yeah, so that was the first quest, I guess. Then we find out the tea on the sisters is that the Catholic Church dispelled them as members. I guess they could do that 60 years ago. So their vow of silence is not legally protected, which is like Betty is telling this to Sister Woodhouse, and she's like, "Well, fine, whatever, you know the truth." And Betty's like, "Why don't you just turn on Hiram and you get immunity?"
Yeah. I thought it was important that Sister Woodhouse does in fact speak, so she breaks her vow of silence.
Yeah, and what it didn't even really say, like, why did they get kicked out? I know they do a lot of fucked up shit, but what happened 60 years ago? Like, they were so specific about that, and then so it was like 60 years ago.
It was because of allegations of cruel and inhumane actions, is what they said. And it was part of Vatican II, which I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not an expert, but if I remember correctly, it was like a series of meetings to discuss on like reforms on modernizing the Catholic Church.
Okay, so they were like, okay, sure.
They were like, we're
But
actually done with this. You're.
they're like, the Pope, she literally said the Pope did something. I'm like, yeah, okay, the Pope said, Sisters of Quiet Mercy, you're out.
Yeah, because the Pope is so concerned about the functionings of the Sisters of Quiet Mercy in Riverdale.
It's true.
Anyways, then Jughead talks to all the serpents at the camp and announces the Veronica protection gig, and everyone's excited and claps. And then he's like, Cheryl and Tony to the stage, and accuses them of stealing the egg. And they're like, yeah, so what? Why does it matter? There's no sheriff. Why do you care? So he like kicks them out, and Tony's pissed because she's a serpent by blood. Which sure. And then they call him out for being a hypocrite because he let Fang stay in the gang, but he's kicking them out. To which Tony says, and in case you're wondering how we know, Fang's told Sweepy, who told me? And then Cheryl says, who told me? And it made me laugh so hard for no reason.
She just wanted to be part of this conversation. Like, yeah, we figured that much out. Which one? Okay, they're really like going for something here. I thought it was funny that Jughead's like, turn in your jackets, and she's like, we'll leave, but we're keeping our jackets. Like, she is not sacrificing the jackets. Also, it's not, I mean, is it hypocritical? Is it a double? I will say it's a double standard, yes. But also, you guys are stealing Glamourge eggs from Hiram Lodge, which like could get all the serpents killed,
Yeah.
and it's for no reason. Like, it's not like you're selling it to pay for your mom's cancer treatment. Meanwhile, Fang's mom is like dying. So I'm like, okay, Cheryl. Yeah. So I said, damn, leadership is hard. Because honestly, Jughead is in a bit of
Leadership
predicament. Because then they're kind
is
of like, what are
hard.
you going to do, Jughead? Like, are you going to kick things out? Like, what?
What are they going to do? Well, you know what he does? He kicks Fangs out. So he asks for Fangs' jacket, and Sweet Pea like protests, but Fangs just gives it to him and then calls him a bad leader, essentially.
Yeah.
And so then Cheryl and Tony are like, fine, we'll leave too. And on the way out, Jug is like, cool, but like, you need to give me the egg. And he says, I quote, you need to give me that damn egg, or Veronica won't give us the protection contract. To which Cheryl responds, why the hell would I care? I'm not a serpent anymore.
Play, but also you're the devil, Cheryl, because like it all goes back to the fact like Cheryl just should not be a serpent. She shouldn't be. Like, she has nothing
Why
in
is
common
she
with these
one?
people. She just likes the, I mean, she clearly doesn't like follow any of the actual principles, which is why it doesn't end up working out. But anyway, she does return the egg. So I guess she has, you know, some sort of soul or something in there
I don't know
deep
why I wrote
down.
this, but I wrote as my last note of the scene, Jughead basically calls Cheryl out for cosplaying as poor.
I mean, that's kind of like the
I
whole issue going on here
don't.
because he was talking about they really need the, when she's like, why would anyone care? Jughead's like, these people like need a job. We can't all
Yeah.
go back to the where the fuck do they live? I always forget. I almost said Pembroke.
Thistle House.
They can't all go back to Thistle House and live comfortably like Cheryl and Tony. So honestly, fair point. By Jughead, but Cheryl does give the egg, so whatever.
It's
They're
fine.
both fine.
It's fine.
Jughead then gives the egg to Veronica, and then she's like, okay, we gotta have the plan to get to let Hiram know that she's now under serpent protection.
Yes. Then Betty talks to Tyler, who is the kid with the fizzle rocks in front of everyone. And Tyler is like, I saw the Gargoyle King in Fox Forest. Betty is lying about everything. And she's like, no, I'm not. We're all safe. And the sisters are testifying. Don't worry. But the kids will be, in fact, worrying.
So they're kind of like, well, are we actually safe here? You're just saying you're safe, but yeah, so Betty is struggling. Then back to Archie. Archie's next quest card is to kill the Gargoyle King, and then the word is like, is that actually what it says? And it says, kill the man in black. And I'm like, how we need like a tally for how many times Riverdale has told us that Hiram Lodge is the Gargoyle King. Like, we get
Is it
it.
at least once an episode? At least once an episode for the past like five episodes.
Yes. So then Archie like walks through Hiram's office, and Hiram is there drinking rum, and he does. Noted, Archie calls Hiram instead of Mr. Lodge, like a little boy. So he was like, Hiram. I was like, okay, Hiram. Archie confirms that I have been right this whole season and says, I wish I had just killed you before you had me arrested instead of threatening you. I should have just killed you. And I was like, thank you, Archie. You get it. Then Archie magically has a knife. And Hiram's like, you're not gonna do it. But then Archie stabs him, which I've seen enough episodes of Criminal Minds to know what that means.
Yeah. So then Archie goes back to the cabin. Oh, also note that the portrait in Hiram's study in this like vision Archie's having is of the Gargoyle King now. I thought that was interesting and a fun little
Ooh.
detail. Then Archie goes back to the cabin and the rest of his friends are there now. So it's Betty, Veronica, and Jughead are all there playing. And Betty's like, one last round to play. And she asks if he's working on any new music, which I thought was just funny. And he's like, I haven't played guitar in years. What?
It's them from the first episode,
Yeah.
so it's like I don't know what that means. Again, this stuff is kind of incoherent, but it's like, but I
It's
did
okay.
note that it's all Betty. It's like very much Betty, like Veronica and Junket are all there, but it's like Betty's the one talking to him, and it's like you have to play the game.
But yeah. So then at the Pembroke, Hiram is pouring himself a drink again. But then he notices on the desk that the Glamazure egg has been smashed. And there's a Le Bon Nuit card that says New Deal, No Deal in all caps.
Honestly, that was kind of a slay. I did enjoy that one. She said, and for that reason, I'm out.
I'm out.
Where is Veronica Lodge on Shark Tank? That's what she's doing now.
That's what she like. That is 100% what she's doing now, and I need her because she'd be such a good shark, in my opinion. She has a flair for the drama. I think she'd be really entertaining to watch. She'd pick some really weird companies to support. And she'd pretend to care about poor people occasionally in a way that would make people like her. Sharks. And I noted that in the scene, Hiram is in his like normal black suit, but instead of having a tie, he has on like a blue and red ascot, which felt like a fashion slay
Ooh.
and experiment for him. And it was also very gay.
He's so liberated. Wow.
He's been liberated. Once Archie left his life, he finally felt the self, like the ability to be his true self. I just need everyone to know
Wow.
that.
This is so deep. I love how we can't focus on anything else. When I watch the episodes now, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm just waiting for Archie Hiram interaction, I'm not gonna lie. So then Betty is meeting with some of the other allies, including Nana Rose, Fred, and Sierra, about the kids and trying to encourage them to like take some of them in. And they're like, yeah, we can take a couple in. So they're all gonna help protect the children.
Yeah, they're saving the children. Then FP and Jughead discuss the deal with Veronica, and FP is like, I can't believe you're making a deal with the Lodges. And Jughead's like, it's not the Lodges, it's Veronica. And FP's like, you dumb bitch, she's still a lodge.
Honestly, it was true. But then Jughead clapped back and was like, you worked for Hiram
Yeah.
Lodge straight up. So, but FP is like, put me in. So I don't know what the fuck FP is gonna do, but he really wants to be put in, come out of retirement. Like, this isn't an act. You can do whatever you want, FP. You're a grown man. Like,
The
but
gang
he needs
is,
Jughead's permission.
it's a mess. The gang is a mess.
So then we see their plan is that next time Archie, when Reggie is driving back from Canada with the beer, he stops before he runs over spikes that will pop his tire, and the gargoyles come out, and Reggie says, we gotta stop meeting like this. So he has a nice action. That was such like a fucking Marvel movie ass line. I was like, okay. But then he's cocky because he's not alone. The serpents jump out from the truck and scare off all the gargoyles, but they do capture one. And Jughead tells them to tell Hiram that Veronica Lodge is under the protection of the serpents now.
Eight.
Ate him up.
Then Betty gets home and everyone is gone. And Alice comes out and is like, oh yeah, after the whole Fizzle Rocks thing, and that kid getting beat up, I called Edgar for advice and he just came and took them all to the farm. You just missed him.
I said, Alice is the devil.
Yeah, Alice is just season three.
It's a tough thing.
Season three, Alice is so hard. It's so hard to be a fan of Alice in season three.
I just say, when I was first watching this season, I actually had more sympathy for Alice
No, me
before
too.
knowing the meaning of her actions. Like, we haven't got there yet, but it's like there is like not that surprising, a reason that she's doing this shit. She's not just insane. But it's like once I found out the reason, I was like, like
Alice is
the ends do not justify the
after the reveal, you're like, this insane behavior is even crazier now for some reason. Like, they tried to make it make sense and they made it make so much less sense.
do so much. Like they could have had her just kind of be like what she was the first couple episodes, just like always talking about the farm and like Betty, you need to join Betty. Like Edgar's the best, Edgar. Like just kind of be annoying. Like they didn't have to have her like send children into
Man.
like human trafficking, low key. Like
Yeah, they didn't need to send the vulnerable children who just escaped the like abusive orphanage into the cult. Anyways.
anyways, so Archie has arrived at the quote last level. Archie sees Archie asleep on his bed, back
He
at
makes no
home,
sense.
and Fred comes up and he's like, you don't have to do this. And Archie's like, he's the one that started it all. It's all his fault. Like, I'm trying to go back and change the past. I don't know. Like Archie is self-hating. Fred says that he's
Yeah.
not a villain and that there's always another path. And Archie's like, I have to destroy the weak, stupid part of me. I did say KJ Apa is a good actor here because this script was not great and he tried his best to pull it off.
He made it work a little bit and proud of him for that because it did not work at all on paper, I don't think. Yeah, and then he
But
just like
then he
has a
like starts hitting, yeah, he like has a baseball bat and starts like hitting himself very, very hard with a baseball bat. So,
Like,
yeah.
I get what they were going for, where it's like he has to kill off the innocent part of himself or whatever.
Little ham-fisted.
But it's just like, it doesn't really make sense in the narrative. Like,
Yeah, and to have, like, yeah, because Archie, that's not what happened. It's not like Archie is now some, like, he doesn't actually change, you know, in response
no.
to this that much.
Like, he doesn't actually change at all. If anything, he would have had to kill off the innocent part of himself, like IDK when he was in juvie or something and was trying to escape and was in the illegal boxing ring. Like, why is getting attacked by a bear causing this?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Which true, because he had such an issue with like fighting the other guys. Okay, well, whatever. They could
Whatever.
have done this. Riverdale writers, we have notes.
I have thoughts. I have thoughts on how you can improve the script.
We see back at Mabon Mui, Veronica is happy and celebrating and singing Maybe This Time, because Cabaret. I love how she also performs at her
Yeah.
own speakeasy. And
Nepotism.
she does
It's
have
not just
like
for
some
your
like
kids.
nepotism. It's not, well, that's not nepotism,
No,
but
it's not.
it's I don't know. She has like some flirty looks with Reggie while she's on stage, and then later when the club is empty, they kiss.
And but because it's Veronica,
Which,
they're like aggressively
okay.
making out. They're not just kissing. Then Jughead and FP talk to Fangs in the woods at night and are like, hey, there's a way you can get back in the gang. And we just need you to go undercover as a gargoyle, as like part of their gang, so we can have an inside man. And if you do that for us, if things go well and you don't die, you can rejoin the Serpents. Best of luck.
Yeah, good luck, King. Then Sierra has called Betty because the sisters are gone from the jail, you know. And it's because someone, an anonymous donor, if you will, has posted their bail. And there is a note that says, "We go to join thee," in like the jail cell where they were all just hanging out in a single jail cell, I guess.
I guess.
Sure. And Betty's like, "I know where they are."
Well, no. Mayor
No.
McCoy, sorry, Attorney McCoy is like, this is what they left. Does that mean anything to you, Betty? And I'm just sitting, I'm like, Sierra, how are you a lawyer? Let's take 2 seconds and put two context clues together and think, where could they have gone? Like, it doesn't take a
Yeah,
genius.
I was giving her some credit, but then I realized Betty clearly had to tell her like all the details about what
Yes.
happened. So like she should have enough information to know this.
You should at the very least basic be like, they are going back to like the sisters. Like, they're going back to the orphanage. At the very basic of levels, that is a baseline assumption you can make.
Yeah, so
Anyways.
Betty goes to the sisters, and guess what? They're all dead with blue lips, all surrounding the Gargoyle King statue, which I was wrong last episode because I was like, there's no way that Betty took the actual head off the Gargoyle King statue when she was being the Griffin Queen, but they had to replace it with like one of those cow heads with the
Skulls.
horns and all that, skulls, to make it back to be a Griffin King so they could, Griffin King, Gargoyle King, so they could dine from the Gargoyle King. Sure.
And in the very last scene, very briefly, the cops bust into the cabin and find Archie on the bed, unresponsive, with his eyes like open.
Which they were really like, okay, whenever they try to be like, is this character dead or not? Like, they're not gonna kill Archie fucking Andrews off on episode 9 of the third season of Riverdale.
Yeah.
Like,
They're not gonna
so like,
kill him off 9 episodes into a season.
yeah, so I'm like, okay, guess what? Sorry, guys, spoilers. Archie does not die, but he's not doing well at the moment. But he is found. So thank you to the radio woman who came to save him.
Go off, queen. And that's
And
the
that's the
episode.
episode. Okay, I have so many outfits and few quotes where usually I feel like I'm trying to like decide which quote, and now I'm trying to decide which outfit because there were so many slaves. For my outfits, I'm gonna go with Hiram and his big mob wife aesthetic coats. I
That
really
was gonna
appreciated
be
that.
mine. Fuck, that was my outfit.
Sorry.
I think I'm gonna go with Josie's flapper outfit from the very beginning.
That's a good one.
It was
I
good.
also liked Veronica when she was on stage singing. She had a really good outfit too. So lots of cabaret inspired great outfits.
Yeah.
What's your quote of the episode?
I think it was honestly Allison saying, fine, but as their queen, they're your responsibility, not mine.
It had plot relevance, and anything that calls the. Honestly, I was considering Betty just saying, "I'm their Griffin Queen," because the way she says it is like so
They
resigned and
imprinted on
earnest.
me.
But I very rarely like Jughead quotes, so I gotta go with what's what hero's journey would be complete without a self-imposed exile? It was. Mythological, it really set up the thematic importance of Archie Andrews getting attacked by a bear. I feel like we all, we're too caught up in the humor to really recognize the text themes.
The intricate storytelling. I just remembered crypto fascists. Honorable mention to crypto
Honorary, yeah.
fascists.
Okay, who should we do for Kinsey Scale? Who's in this episode?
Oh, I don't even know.
So who was in this episode?
I don't
Oh,
think.
we can do Sister Woodhouse because she's dead
Sister
now.
Woodhouse.
Yeah, she's dead. So that's the
She did.
leader of the sisters that we often see that Betty held up with a sharpened stick last episode, who took a vow of silence, who got kicked out of the Catholic Church. So we're doing Kinsey scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. Today we're talking about Sister Woodhouse of the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. Okay, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Woo!
Woo-hoo!
We are aligned. We both said zero.
I just feel like
So,
it's really
zero.
obvious. Like,
She runs a conversion therapy.
conversion therapy. That's all I need to say.
She runs a conversion. And I will say, not that like anyone being involved in conversion therapy, at Tulsi, remember how she like worked at a conversion therapy place? Do you remember that coming out?
No, not really. But I also don't pay attention
You
to
don't. Anyway, not that anyone who ever was involved in any conversion therapy like should have any grace, but she is also like back when Cheryl was there, she was the one being like, "You're a disgusting, perverted girl," like Nana
Yeah.
Rose. Remember the lore of Cheryl's what do they call that in But I'm a Cheerleader? Like the cause or
Oh,
her root
yes.
was that Nana Rose was confused sometimes, so she would like dress the children, her and Jason, up in the wrong clothes. So, like, she was saying shit like that. So, obviously, she has an issue with gay people. I think she's probably 100% heterosexual, as we say around here. And look, I was thinking, nuns. Nuns, lots of
Nuns.
lesbianism there, but she had no gay energy. And a lot of nuns became nuns to like escape like straight marriage and such, and that was not Sister Woodhouse's motivation. She's not even actually a nun or actually Catholic, so she
Yeah.
doesn't get any of those points either.
No, yeah, she's just she's straight through and through. Like, there's nothing about that. There's nothing going on there.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all I got. I'm excited to
Archie
see
Andrews.
Archie Andrews continue to deal with his bear wounds.
You know what's funnier than Archie Andrews getting attacked by a bear is any time in the future where he has to talk about
Talk
the
about
fact
being attacked by a
that he
bear.
was attacked.
My also any time in the future where he takes his shirt off and they have to do the bear scars.
Honestly, do you think they like created all the alternate universes because they were just tired of having to put
No, like
fake bear
I
claws?
think it was. I think that's
But they're
part of the
like,
reasoning.
but they were also like, we can't have KJ Apa not be shirtless. So
Yeah.
they kind of dug themselves into a hole there.
They're like, KJ Apa legally has to be shirtless, but
Takes a lot of time to put on fake bear claw marks onto his skin.
and the fake serpent tattoo. So like, let's
I forgot his serpent tattoo. Wow. Okay. Archie Andrews.
Let's make alternate universes where that doesn't have to be a thing.
Yeah.
I know KJ
Okay,
Apa was tired of
folks.
sitting in makeup.
You know it. Okay.
Okay.
Remember, it gets
It
better.
gets better. I thought you were gonna go slow. You can reach out to us, let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at Cheryl'sBwords@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches out well as well. So that is Cheryl'sBwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.